Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
6:12, Ruined Dits here on Triple M on this Thursday morning. The big things making news around the place. I want to start off with Clive.
Clive Palmer.
He's only half the man he used to be.
Yeah, very nearly half the man. He was 153 kilos when he decided, I better do something about my diet because I'm falling asleep in Parliament. I can't even get inside my plane. I have to get an extra belt to get around my stomach when I fly.
Well, just reading this morning, how much has he lost?
He's lost 60 kilos.
Unbelievable. That's a person.
Yeah, it's awesome. He was trying to get back to 100. He's now 95 and probably realistically got a bit more to go.
Well, he said he wants to get to 90.
All right.
And I'm looking at it from an inspirational point of view. I can't believe he's lost that much. It's brilliant.
No, it is. It is. It'd be interesting to know what he has done. But when you're that far overweight, you really can cut back some easy things and lose a few.
Well, he said he's halved his portions. He named a few things that he's done.
Probably not have 8 meals a day and a heap of booze would be a good start.
But I look, quite seriously, I always like it when I see stories like that. Yep. I think, well done.
No, it's very good.
It's not easy.
No, it's not. He's probably had a pretty similar diet for 20 years, I would have thought.
Yep.
And maybe got told he needed to do something about it. Or maybe he saw himself sleeping in Parliament.
He said he's got, I think he's got a 2-year-old daughter, believe it or not. He's got a very small child anyway to his latest wife. And I think he just woke up and said, well, I'm not going to be around.
So. Well, we wouldn't be able to catch her.
No.
He'd have to lose weight just to keep up with her.
Yeah.
maybe loving it. Loving life.
Now, Eddie Maguire has
come out. He would be loving life at the moment. He'd be under the pump. It was his decision to put Buckley into the job. He's been in there for 6 years. They're 1-4. They've won 20 games out of their last 50. And people like David King are saying after their loss on Anzac Day, Collingwood have to manage Buckley out of Collingwood now. That's where they're at.
All right.
There's a line through it.
Let's have a listen to Ed.
Every time I've looked for Nathan Buckley, as a player, as a person, as a coach, he has never let me or the Collingwood Football Club down. Any time that he has been required to step to the line, he steps and he steps forward before you even ask him to. There has been no greater servant of the Collingwood Football Club. There is no better person to have our club's future in his hands than Nathan Buckley. He will do whatever is required to the best of his ability. Now, the results will come and the results will be decided upon and action will be taken because no person, whether it's the president or the coach or a player or anybody, is bigger than the club.
So Eddie's right behind Buck. So what? He'll be gone any day now then, right?
He didn't say full support of the board, but couldn't have been any more glowing of Nathan Buckley and his attitude and his what he's done for the club. I mean, no greater servant of the Collingwood Football Club.
It's a big statement.
It is a big statement. It's a very, very big statement. And good on Eddie for backing him up. But reality says that he's highly unlikely to be coaching there next year.
They've got Geelong this week.
Yeah. They've got winnable games coming up. I think they'll make a decision, if not at the halfway mark, certainly at the end of the year. Mm. If they know at halfway mark that he's not going to be the coach next year, well, then they might as well move him on. Mm. He might as well start moving forward, but things would have to go pretty bad. And the reason why they're 1-4, most of it is inaccurate goal kicking.
Yeah.
They could be 3-2 or 4-1.
Yep.
Which would be very different.
But what about our newsbreaker, Damien Barrett? He's had his say about Eddie's tenure as well.
He has, in the last 3 or 4 months, been able to get that board and the constitution around the board and the people who vote for the board in a situation whereby he was elected unopposed again. And as such, he's got a breathing space now of 3 years personally on that. And we've seen enough evidence of this over the journey that they're just not prepared to take him on publicly. There's people like Craig Kelly who have always harboured the job, but they don't want to do it if they have to put the gloves on publicly and fight for the role publicly. So I still feel he's such a negotiator and a tactician. He's going to be able to make the decision on Buckley and still retain the role himself.
Now, Rue, I don't mind saying, people, obviously Eddie divides the public, right? No doubt about that. But I always say, gee, I wish he was president of my football club.
Yep.
Like the job he's done over that time and the passion he's got. But you would have to say he's made that football club.
What do you mean he's made the footy club?
I reckon when he went there, they were a bit of a basket case,
broke.
Collingwood. They were broke. They
he was just 32, I think.
Yeah.
31.
Yeah.
And the president. Amazing.
But for those that are envious or jealous, you would say, I wish he was president of my club.
Absolutely. I'd love him in your corner. I mean, he does all of that for nothing.
Yeah.
Probably 20 hours a week at least.
Yeah.
For nothing. So anyway, they've got big decisions to make there.
Mm. And just a report that's probably, this is good news to many, many people waking up right now. People all over the world, Roo, it's been revealed that 4 cups of coffee is very, very good for you.
And Thank God for that.
And I say this for one reason.
Well, exactly. Alice needs to make us a coffee right now.
It's 6:17 and we haven't had a coffee yet. Yeah. So if you could, please. Skinny flat white, thanks.
Yeah, we'd have 4 cups of coffee before 10 o'clock, wouldn't we?
Yeah, and I just want to reinforce that it's doing us good, Roo.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Some scientists have done this research.
You put the cups of coffee in with the food labelling basket at the moment. Well, you haven't got a clue whether coffee's good for you or bad for you.
Oh, I can confirm it. I've got the research in front of me here.
Yes. What about the other research, Alice, that says it gives you cancer? Or
no, you don't read that one. Don't
the
read
other
that.
Cups of,
only read the good research.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, then you should have a cup of coffee before you exercise because it burns fat faster then.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news.
Yeah, all right.
And it increases your sex drive, Dits, as well. So get into a couple tonight.
I'll inhale it. Righto. 6:18, Roo and Dits on Triple M.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. It's for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
Karen's of Hyde Park. The watch and jewellery specialists. 183 King William Road, Hyde Park.
Oh, good morning, angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dibs.
I'm already laughing, Ruin. Yes. There's a bit of angel envy. Oh, bagging each other. Ones that aren't here, I mean.
There's been a couple that have been married since we've been away.
Yeah, I know. Gee. All getting married off. Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dibs.
Oh, there's no love in that this morning.
Let's try again.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dibs.
That's better. Gee.
We've got an angel Alice texting us at the moment saying, I'm in the lift.
In the lift, wait for me.
See, there's angel envy. We've got Ange. Good morning, Ange.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. And Mel, the button pusher.
Hello.
Now, Mel's got our first topic this morning. Mel's got a story to tell us.
Yeah, so I have a 2-year-old daughter and my partner and I currently look after her just between us. Work's worked out really well, but work's changing, so we have to get in a little bit of help at home.
Right.
Mm. And so hiring a nanny a few mornings a week just to cover the gaps.
Everyone's doing all right for himself.
Going okay.
How much do you get paid to push those buttons?
Oh, we're shortchanging them horribly. But everyone I've spoken to, and they're wonderful, let me say that from the start, wonderful candidates, wonderful young women.
But
stunning. Super gorgeous, like drop dead gorgeous girls.
Mm. What's their numbers?
Yeah.
Not telling you names.
Can I see?
You may not. So I've actually, and one of them was a recommendation of a friend who she texted me this woman's details and she said she's fabulous. She's so lovely, great with kids, used to run a childcare centre. So she's overqualified.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's texted back later on that night going, oh, by the way, she's so hot. I forgot to mention she's really hot.
That's an interesting situation you got yourself in there with a hot nanny.
She on your phone?
I'm not showing you.
Just give us a look.
Righto.
So what's the problem?
Would you hire them?
Mm. And are you going to?
Yes. Ooh. Well, they're all stunning. I can't help but hire a hot nanny.
Righto. Ange, you've got 2 kids?
Yeah. Hell no. Not today. Hell, God, no.
Awesome.
No
temptation.
Too much. Yeah, Jesus. I'd be like at work thinking, what's going on? And there's so many there's been so many movies and you just hear, you know, like, oh, bullshit.
Oh, real life stuff.
Like, yeah, real life. No, it happens in real life. I'm sure that hot nanny, you know.
Happened to all the celebrities.
Yeah. There's plenty of pregnant nannies.
All the nannies are pregnant.
And I think my husband like loves it when I clean, he goes, oh, yeah, that looks hot when I'm vacuuming. So I'm like, God, don't help them. I'm like, I'm in a tracky vacuuming, dude. How is this hot right now?
Mm.
Not
well, that
me,
means he loves
you know.
It. See, that's lovely.
You,
know.
You say that, but Dits gets excited when his wife's peeling carrots.
Potatoes.
Oh, my
not
God.
Right, Alice the Wag. Alice could be the hot nanny.
No.
So you can speak on behalf of them.
No chance in hell would I ever hire a hot nanny.
No,
even maybe I probably
jealous.
Would hire a boy nanny.
What?
Just, you're not worth the risk. they're always in your house, and it starts off just like an innocent, like, I'm holding your baby and just spilled some milk on my breast. Can you help me?
Oh, no.
And
then,
no, and then 2 days later, she's in a hot maid outfit, and it's just, it
escalates. Don't walk around in a maid outfit. How much trust have they got in us blokes? Seriously?
Nothing. We're just we've married them, Dits, and they still don't trust us.
No.
Yeah. Neck minute, you guys are at home more often.
Yeah. I just thought I'd bob home.
Yeah.
And you weren't here.
From the home office.
Yeah.
And you've installed a pool.
Giving us ideas, actually.
So you're obviously pretty comfortable with it then, Mel?
Oh, I'm fine. Danny's excited. He's crazy.
He's pumped. And he does, he does work from home.
Yes! So. In more ways than one.
Oh, this is good.
Don't do it,
he's only got eyes for me.
Yeah. That's what they all say.
Yeah. Anyway, Roo, I'm going around there for a drink later on. Are you coming?
You go see Danny. Yeah,
go and see Danny.
Yeah, Danny's invited us.
All of a sudden you want Danny's number.
Now, Alice, you've got our next topic.
The other day, you guys were on air and I had something to tell you, and I was so busting for the toilet. Mm-hmm. So I was in the toilet texting Mel to let her know what was happening from the toilet. Well, that's how dedicated I am to the show. And you guys thought that was really weird that I was like on the toilet and texting.
Can't use your phone on the toilet.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Why can't you?
Oh, it's disgusting. If I ring you and I hear it echoing, and I know you're in the dunny doing, you know.
I've spoken to Roo on the phone in the dunny more than once.
Oh, yeah. I speak to everyone on the line.
You can't.
When you're busy, you got to talk. You've got to do two things.
Ring us back. Just don't take my call and ring me back in 2 minutes or however long it takes.
Ange?
Social media a lot on the phone. Like I just sit there. I like to take my time
on the toilet,
and I just have a scroll, you know, because I need to sometimes be in the zone and relax.
Right.
do you take a long time in the loo, do you?
Oh, sometimes. Just depends. Not at work.
Are you the lady? The at home. There's at a lady home. In this office who goes to the toilet for like half an hour and just sits there in silence.
Me.
It's
that's
really
not
weird.
Me. No. Not no, that's at home. No, okay. I don't have time here. I just in and out. But at home, and I don't get it. But talking, so the other day I was talking, my brother called me. There was only my brother. And I went into the toilet just to a quick wee and then I flushed and came. And whoever was in the next cubicle said, "Oh my God, Ange McKenzie, is that you? Are you actually on the toilet?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's only my brother, don't worry about it." And so, but I would never, like a client or a colleague, I wouldn't take my phone to the toilet. Talking, I wouldn't.
Germs and things as well, though, on your phone. How filthy would your phone be?
I read a story that the phone is, out of everything in your house, sinks, like cleaning equipment, cloths, everything, your phone is the most disgusting thing
probably.
That you have.
You told me the other day you don't wash your hands.
Because you never
in the
stop
toilet.
Touching it and you never wash your hands.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, you always wash your hands.
Hey?
One of you doesn't wash your hands.
I don't wash my hands.
I wipe my phone down a lot with a wipe, you know, like a sterilised wipe thing. And because the kids play with it and you drop it and it's, you know, it goes everywhere.
That's a good point. I've never cleaned my phone, ever. Mm. Have you ever?
No, but we should.
I just use one of those sterilised wipes things.
Sterilised wipes.
Rue doesn't wash his hands, but it'll clean his phone.
So just before when you were on his phone.
Waste of time.
Pardon? You used his phone before and he doesn't wash his hands in the toilet.
Well, I shake Ditz's hand.
Yeah, but then I go and wash my hands. No, I do. I'm a serial hand washer. I'm obsessed with it.
I've never seen you wash your hands before.
No, I do. All the time.
Mm. You sleep with your dog, but you wash your hands.
After I've slept with the dog. The dog goes and washes. He washes as well.
Because the dog washes himself every day.
All right,
he?
We're getting silly now. Thanks, Angels.
Thank you.
Triple M. Now, later on this morning, Mick Molloy is going to join us, and I feel a bet coming on. You know, Richmond are coming to town this weekend. Here he is, Ruby, one of our favourite shows. What's it called? Is it the front bar on a
Friday
front bar. Let's have a listen to Mick last week.
We go to Adelaide to play Adelaide. Get on the Tiger bus. It's out of control.
Are you prepared to call this? I know the Giants are imposing, but are you prepared to call this the grand final preview?
It's a grand final preview.
Grand final preview.
It's a grand final preview.
Well, there you go. Now, Ru, I do feel a little bet coming on.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be a game of footy with your mates if you didn't have little wager on it.
But, you know, I know it's a bit old-fashioned, but we could have a bit of fun with this. Mick will be coming. He loves getting over here and watching the Tigers. Yeah. So, I don't know. I was thinking something along the lines of you and he could swap gigs or something like that, he could do a gig here at the Alma
for
you.
I'd love him to do a gig at the Alma. Well, yeah, I'm happy with that. And get the Triple M listeners along.
Yeah.
Or have a bit of fun there.
Is there anything else you've got in mind? What would you like to bet with Mick?
Well, I wouldn't mind if he paid the bill from last time he was here, for starters.
Well,
that's only 3 years ago, isn't it? When did you play the finals against them? Was it 2014?
Yeah, when we thrashed them.
Just two and a half, three years ago.
Yeah, if you could.
Yeah. Maybe I could pay that. Yeah, maybe he could pay that.
Now, we have got a double. These tickets are hot. A double to go and see the Crows in Richmond this weekend. Best idea right now. What bet should Roo and Mick Molloy have on this weekend's game? And we'll get him on later on. He'll be on, just after 8 o'clock, and we'll put the bet to him. Ring now, 133353. Best idea of a bet between Roo and Mick. We've got a double to go and see the Crows in Richmond.
We've got Will from St. Morris. Good morning, Will. You got an idea?
How you going, lads?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Roo has to wear the Richmond mascot's uniform and Mick has to wear the Crows one.
Right, where do we have to wear it to?
I reckon either at the game or the next game they play or at the pub.
Okay, dress up as a mascot. Yeah, that'd be a bit embarrassing. We could probably do that. I don't mind putting a onesie on. So let's go to Victor Harbour. G'day, Chris.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Good, Chris.
It's good. Yeah, I'd like to see Mick Molloy get on the Adelaide Skywalk around the Oval if the Crows win. That'd be good for him.
Get him up on the roof climb, you mean?
A bit of vertigo. I hope he hasn't got that. All right, let's go to Dave at Craigmore. G'day, Dave.
Morning, fellas. I think when Crows win, that Mick should go and have a nice sculptured haircut with the Crow embedded on each side of his head and wear it on the Friday front bar.
That's different.
He's got a fair
He has got
head
a mop
hair.
Yeah, he has.
All right, we'll think about that. Let's go to Victor Harbour. G'day, Paul.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Paul. What would you like Mick to do if the Crows get
hang on,
out of
hang
the
hang on, hang on. You keep saying Mick. You're in this too.
What?
Are you guys...
Right, we're going to win for sure.
Are you guys aware of the skimpies in WA?
No.
Okay, well, I reckon the losers should do 2 hours of bar service at the Alma wearing lingerie.
Oh,
what? The skimpies? Where's this, in Kalgoorlie or something?
Kalgoorlie, Broome, around the top end, mate. Yeah, you got your skimpies, yeah.
Raw. Yeah, okay. Well, think about that one,
Paul. Put me off my beer.
Let's go, exactly. Melrose Park. G'day, Bo.
Yeah, how you going, boys?
What are you thinking?
I think for the next home game, the loser has to sit with the cheer squad with the opposite team's jersey
on.
Wow.
Actually, that's a good idea.
That's not bad.
That's a pretty good idea.
And that's quite achievable, then. That's easy to do.
Yeah, that's manageable.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Bo.
I like that.
Yeah, I like Bo's.
Bo might be the
Bo's
winner,
I think.
There today. Righto. Bo, you're off to see the Crows in Richmond this weekend.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M or Roo this weekend. How big?
Top of the table clash.
Oh. Hello. Here we go. Yes! You'll be sick of the sound of this
in the warm-up
by Sunday night, my friend.
In the warm-up. The only time it's played when you're running out.
Boom shakalaka. The Tigers are coming to down, and can I say Adelaide's been a very happy hunting ground for us.
You got a poor memory.
Yeah. I have nothing but good times in Adelaide.
Yeah, can
seriously,
I just say, too,
I would rather go to Snowtown than the Adelaide Oval, to tell you the truth.
Oh, come on.
No, I've said it.
Just give we'll put the windsock up so Trent Conchin knows to kick into it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yes, bloody hell.
The last time I was there, I was on the Tiger Express, Tiger Air.
Yep.
We were going over there. On the way, I joined the Mile High Club. No one else involved, just me. It was. We had a ball. On the way back, well, you want to get a little... Have a listen to the black box recording of that flight. There was nothing. That could have crashed into a building and I wouldn't have cared. But I've got a very good feeling about this. Adelaide Crows, looking a little dodgy, are going to get their pants pulled down, and I will be watching from the Mark Rusciutto stand where I'm going to let myself down. I am going to behave like an absolute idiot.
Is it a grand final preview?
To me, it is, and not only that, it's also a percentage booster for the Tigers.
Now you're really setting yourself up for a fall.
I'll be really angry if we let you get a few cheapies in junk time. You know what I mean?
Mick, I don't know if you're familiar with a term in sport that's often wheeled out. It's called flat track bullies. Now, I just want to remind you.
Correct.
You've beaten
Ditch, you're on it.
No, you've beaten Carlton. You've beaten Collingwood.
Jeez, I thought we were about to gang up on
Brisbane.
Have you beat Brisbane? You beat the mighty Brisbane. Jeez.
And a heavily depleted Demons.
No, well.
Yeah, Jack Watt's in the run.
You went great against Essendon.
We flogged them.
Who have they beaten? Collingwood.
Yeah. Hey, do you think we should have a little wager, put our money where our mouth is? A bit of hard earned, or?
Why not? What are you thinking?
All right, well.
Me paying my bar debt?
Yeah, well, that would be a bloody
you want
to
double or
start.
Nothing your bar bet?
That would be a bloody good start, because interest rates in Adelaide are very, very different to what they are in Melbourne at the moment.
Oh, are they? Yeah, that sounds like standover tactics to me.
It is a little bit. Now, I'm going to give you some options, all right, for some bets. So it could just be a straight out bet that you'll beat the Crows, okay? It could be, if you're not willing to take that on, are you willing to take that on? Because that's the obvious one. You're not?
No.
What if I give you 3 goals in?
I think you need to plump that up a bit.
What about if you've got to come back to Adelaide, the Tiger Express, on July the 1st against Port Adelaide? What if I'd said just try and beat one of the Adelaide teams at some stage this year?
Sold.
Sold.
So you're a lenient, Roo.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take that. What's at stake? If I win that bet, I get to take you down the Ramsgate and sort you out.
Yeah, well, you could do that. That could be on. We could have a bit of fun down at Henley Square. Yeah.
You don't sound intimidated, but I like it.
It'd be a good afternoon. or if the Crows and Port happen to beat the Tigers.
Yes.
I reckon you need to do a gig for nothing in Adelaide.
Ooh. Okay, I'll do a gig for nothing in Adelaide. Where? Oh, it's your pub. No, is that it? I'm paying my way.
Have to be there.
Well, then, okay. Well, then, if I win that bet, then you take me up to your pub in
Nord.
I get to swim with the sharks.
Yeah, okay. And your mate can go to Lincoln and dive with the sharks if Richmond happen to win.
Can you pat them?
Yeah, you can pat them.
I get one in the headlock and rub my knuckles on its head.
Yeah, I reckon we can pull that off. All right,
Can I just say something? Adelaide is going to feel the wrath of the Tiger. This weekend. Right. You've been warned. You all know what's going on.
Right. We just want to see how Dusty likes Adelaide.
Oh, he'll like it all right.
For next year.
He'll just go over there, get his protection money and come back.
That's close to New Zealand.
That's right.
Catch up with Dad.
All right,
Mick. We'll see you on the weekend. We're looking forward to it.
Yep, you're in a lot of trouble.
There you go, Mick Bloy.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
As you know, Anzac Day tends to be one of those real milestone days for farmers.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It usually has a bit of a rain around then. If they have a good rain around then, it usually means they're off to a good start.
Yeah. Now, it rained last week quite heavily, and I was sort of punching the air because I knew it meant that our mate Timmy Vince would finally be able to buy us a beer.
Finally.
Because he's been talking about the drought, you know, for a good 15 years now. They've never had a good crop and they're coming off a drought every time I talk to him. So I'm hoping finally it's a good year for our farmers.
Let's get him on and see how he's started in 2017.
Let's head to Stansbury. Tim, Vince, good morning.
How are you, fellas?
Very well. How are you?
He sounds a bit down.
We've sort of stuck inside. It's raining that hard.
Oh, raining money.
Doesn't rain money, you still got to make it.
Write that first one down.
What is the rule with Anzac Day? Is it the rain before it or the rain after it that you need?
Right about Anzac Day is perfect for us for the break. So I might be able to buy a butcher perhaps later.
A butcher.
I like that when you say the word perfect, I know things are going well. It's a word that Tim only uses when things are going very well.
But
perfect.
Do you want more rain from now on? Is this the start of it or is this meant to be the end of it?
Oh, come on, Tiz. I haven't planted it yet.
I don't know.
Perfect, really. We've got a green tinge, which is just what we want, sheep feed. We've got lambs dropping everywhere. We've tailed a couple of mobs and they're over 100% lambs. So everything's good. So I'm going to have to really work hard to come up with an excuse.
You laugh, Roo. What happens next is you
go
over there and he
seed
says,
now.
No,
well, they
and
seed.
Then, do you know what happens? You go and say, righto, Tim, you've had a good year and, you know, you're buying. He goes, we've had too much rain. That's the next thing that happens. It's ruined the crop.
That's in the middle of the winter when they can get root rot and all sorts of disease and
root
things
rot.
Like that. Yeah.
Righto. Sounds nasty.
That's not the good one. That's not the good one.
Bad one.
No, all good, mate. It's been terrific. There's a lot of canola gone in already. There's a few blokes starting on wheat.
Right.
We're probably going to start tomorrow. And, of course, I'll have no money because I've just bought a new air seater.
Oh, right. The machinery is expensive these days. Hey, what are lambs worth? Just as a interest for people out there who go and buy their meat, they'll be thinking, God, it's hard to buy a roast or little loin chops or four-quarter chops at the moment. What are you getting for a lamb these days?
Well, thank you for asking because I feel a bit like the new Sam Kekovich. I want you blokes to eat a few more lamb chops. Chops and three veg just to keep the lamb price. We're going to have a fair few lambs. We need that price to stay up. They're, at the moment, they're about $6.40 a kilo. That's to us. You folks pay double.
What's a normal sheep, though? What's your usual lamb weigh?
We've been getting between $160 and $170 from elders, which is pretty good money.
That's a good money, amount of money for a lamb. Tell me, do you know what a goat is? Because this will surprise people, won't it?
Yeah, goats are right up there similar, which is...
Are they even worth more?
Yeah, well, they're smaller, see, but they're worth more per kilo, but they're smaller. And I can't work that out. They just run wild up in the Flinders and they're killing the pig, really. I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah. Let's go up there and round a few up.
Well, Gits, I just wondered when you're coming over to tell a few lambs.
Well, I was very good at it last time, wasn't I?
Yeah, you fed the applicator very well with ear tags. That's about as close as you got.
Now, what about your demons? What about Bernie and the demons?
Yeah,
what's going on there? You're not even in the eight at the moment.
Don't make excuses either.
No, we've been squeezed out. I've just got back from Melbourne, went over for Anzac Day, just had a couple of medicinal whiskies before Matt, and they fell over. They ran out of petrol, I think. Game until three-quarter time. So
you'd nearly get a game in the ruck for them at the moment, Timmy.
Yeah, they're struggling, really.
You're doing rough when Porter on top of you on the ladder.
Yeah, but we're coming. We're coming back fairly early in the year. Oh. And Burns' 200th game will be in Adelaide against the Crows.
Is that right?
I'm trying to set a new record for tickets, so I'm going to get in early.
200 game in Adelaide. That's worked out unbelievably.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you got a few spare tickets.
Any chance he won't get reported for it at the moment? He's turning into a grumpy old man.
He did lose a game earlier in the year, but I think that was just to line it up with the Crows game, really. He wanted to
Well, that
just
is
wondering if you've
to.
Got if you happen to have a couple of spare tickets, you could perhaps get Dando and Triggy back for the game.
Anyone else you need to throw a little knife into at the moment?
No,
come on. That's it.
Actually, like, they might meet you for a beer before the game, Tim.
Only medicinal on around that day for the digger.
I think they'd rather see him before the game than
after. I agree. Good on you, Tim. I'm glad the farmers are looking good out there. And thanks for that update. Thanks for the report.
No worries.
Thanks, Tim.
And you know, of course, he needs a good year because he's got to pay for another wedding this year. Bernie's getting married at the end of the year.
Bernie is getting married at the end of the year to a beautiful Riverland girl.
Yeah. Is there such a thing?
Plenty. Plenty. Haven't you met my sister?
Actually, I have. You're right. I met her. I was in a headlock by her to your 40th. I met her all right. Don't worry.
Yeah, she's got a goatee and tattoos.
Yes. Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. Triple M.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Dumb comments on Ruin Dits.
Oh, we love this segment, Roo. 7:43 it is on a Thursday morning. What better time than now to have some dumb comments? Yes. We haven't seen the WAG for a couple of weeks.
No, we haven't.
That the segment's all about her, but she does dominate.
Does do a fair part of it. Backs up with the Angels. And have you said anything dumb lately, Alice?
Well, I did say dumb comment, but I actually don't understand how it's dumb. So,
that's usually the reason why you say it.
Right.
So it was Good Friday. It was the night before Good Friday, and I called my mum to see if I'm allowed to eat meat.
Yeah.
And she said, well, no. Well, I'm Catholic, but she said you're 25. You can choose your own way.
Righto.
And then I said, okay, that's fine. I'll just buy a hot chicken then. And then she was like, well, that's meat. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't think chicken is meat.
Mm.
It's poultry.
It's white meat.
Yeah, but.
See,
are you allowed to eat white meat?
Well, this may not be so dumb for
a
change.
Well, I got confused because I thought it always says like meat, poultry, fish, and fish and poultry weren't
meat. Poultry, fish.
I grew up in a Catholic family. I thought it was red meat. I thought don't eat red meat on Good Friday.
You're definitely not allowed to eat red meat, but are you allowed to eat
white but we meat. Just traditionally always had fish, didn't we, on Good Friday?
If you, yep.
But I, Wag, I might be on your side here. I think it's red meat.
But you don't think chicken is meat?
No, it is. It's chicken meat. But I'm saying that the rules, I think, for the religious people is red meat.
Can we just tick off on one thing? Alice just didn't think chicken was meat, so that's probably dumb.
Yeah.
But whether you can eat white meat,
but we're going to let you off.
As opposed to red meat, is probably something that you and I are interested in.
Our boss, the man we look up to and listen to on a daily basis here, Matt O'Reilly, what did he say to you yesterday, Wag?
He was talking about Anzac Day, how he didn't go to a dawn service. Mm. And he's like, what time are the dawn services?
What time?
That would be a dawn.
Dawn service. Mm. Oh, I like it. Hey, 133353.
What time is dawn, though?
Yeah.
Let him off a little
bit. Okay, all right. If you've got any dumb comments, 133353. But also, if you can help us with our religious dilemma here, is chicken... Can you eat chicken on Good Friday?
You got a few mates in the Catholic Church, Dits, at the moment. They're locked up. The last couple of years. Mm. They're all, oh, they get one phone call.
No. Yeah.
I'll take your call.
Mm. They ring God. Father Delicious, he's inside at the
Father
moment.
Father Delicious.
But 133353, can you help us out with this, a dumb comment, and or can you help us out with the chicken? Can you eat chicken on Good Friday? We need to know.
Give us a call, 133353.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, this dilemma, we want dumb comments, but with this religious question we need answered.
Yes, because Alice thought you couldn't even eat chicken because she didn't think chicken was meat, but we're just interested whether you can actually even eat white meat. Let's go to Seaford Meadows. G'day, Brenton.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good, mate. Well. What's the rule?
Okay. Fish is generally accepted, but however, the strict aspect of it is that you're not supposed to eat anything that bleeds.
Wow, what do you eat then?
Well, you can eat calamari, scallops, prawns, crayfish.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that's the strictest sense of it, but
prawns
generally
bleed, don't
speaking,
they?
I don't know. Have you ever seen one bleed, Drew?
No, I haven't.
Okay, right. Good point.
calamari doesn't bleed. So, look, I mean, in the strictest sense of it, that's the rule, because obviously the blood is meant to represent the blood of Christ, and therefore you don't partake of that. And a lot of religions, Greek Orthodox, those sorts of ones, they have, leading up to it, I think it's up to 50 days or something, they're not allowed to eat. And then they take Holy Communion, and then after that they're able to eat meat again.
All right. Good on you, Brenton. Thank you. Thanks for that explanation. Let's go to Ross Trevor. Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, Lou and Ditz. How are you?
Good, mate. Good, Dave. What do you reckon?
Yeah, good, mate. Listen, I come from an Italian background, a Roman Catholic.
Couldn't tell at all, Dave.
Sorry?
We couldn't tell at all.
Oh, okay, fair enough. We're at the Roman Catholic school. Basically, you can't eat meat off the land.
Right.
You can eat anything out of the ocean. You can't eat meat off the land, chicken being off the land.
Right, yep.
You can't eat it. So whether it's red meat or white meat, pork sort of classified as a bit of a white meat as well, but you can't eat anything off the land.
All right, okay. Thanks, Dave. That makes a bit of sense.
Okay.
Right, now we're still after some dumb comments.
My job is fill the wife's car with petrol, and as per usual, she said, oh, the petrol light's on, love. Car's chugging away. I thought, oh, we're not going to make it. She said, quick, love, turn the radio off. That'll save petrol.
An ex-partner reading the classifieds one morning, and she says to me, what's a chihuahua?
I like that. Chihuahua.
I was watching the ER with my wife, and she said to me, why do they call it ER?
The missus, the other week she called me into the carport. She wanted me to put in the extension lead to the PowerPoint. And then when I asked why she can't reach, she told me there's a ladder in her way.
Oh, no.
They're good. Righto, if you can... a
bit more gold,
us,
please.
Yeah, give us... if you got anything like that, please let us know. 133353. Ruined, it's on Triple M.
Triple M.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Dumb comments on Ruined Dits.
Oh, this is the home of dumb comments, no doubt about that. What do we got there, Roo?
Let's go to Salisbury. Chris, you got a good one?
Yeah, how you going, lads? Right?
Doing very well.
I was sitting with a handbrake watching the news, and there was a thing on with
handbrake
the Aboriginal.
Being
about
the
missus, the missus, mate.
Okay.
And we're watching the news, and there was a thing on the Aboriginal. It was about land rights and that, and she goes, mate, I don't know why they're carrying on so much. Weren't we here before them?
Oh, please, please.
World's best comment.
Yeah, give her a bit of a history lesson. Yeah. Belinda at Roseworthy. Hello, Belinda.
Good morning, fellas.
Hello, Belinda.
What have you got for us?
We were watching my kids play on their brand new 15-foot trampoline, the biggest you could get at Kmart at the time.
Yep.
And my sister says, wow, that's huge. Did you buy it like that or did you have to put it together? And I said, yeah, I took it through the self-serve checkout.
Very good, Melinda.
They're easy to get down the side of the house, those 15-foot trampolines, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, put it in the boot, no problem.
Good on you, Belinda. I think she would have a lot of fun with her sister,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
We were just talking about this North Korean situation.
Yeah.
And sometimes you hear these stories and you think, oh, is it pie in the sky? Are they bluffing? We don't really know. And we know that Donald Trump is meeting with Malcolm Turnbull early next week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is on the agenda.
Oh, of course it would be. But, I mean, usually these sort of things, Dits, are on the other side of the world. And, you know, even if it does happen, no one's going to die in Australia too much. So you're not as, you know, you're concerned, but you're not as concerned. But at the moment, our name's getting mentioned and I'm a little bit frightened.
North Korea talked about Darwin being one of their targets earlier in the week. Former Australian Army Military Intelligence Officer is Professor Clive Williams. He joins us. Professor Williams, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, good morning, Ruined It.
Are we in strife? Are we really a target or are the North Koreans full of bluff?
No, the aim of the North Koreans is to try and develop an ICBM with a nuclear warhead so that they can deter the US from attacking them. That's basically what it's about.
What's an ICBM? ICBM
is a long-range missile.
Right.
It has the range to reach certainly Alaska and Hawaii, but possibly even some of the northwest of the United States. And, of course, it would have the range to reach Australia. But they're still some years away from having that capability.
So how far can those sort of missiles shoot? And they have to leave from land, I'd take it, or off a ship, or...?
No, they're usually land-based. If you have a submarine-launched ballistic missile, it can obviously be a lot closer, depending on how far away from the target the submarine is. But with an ICBM, it's normally launched from a transporter, and... it can be out of a fixed silo, but of course, fixed silo is a bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
And then it has a guidance system, obviously, and has the range to probably, if you had a longer range version, which the North Koreans don't have, but I mean, a longer range version like the Chinese and the Russians and the Americans have, would have the range to pretty much take in all of Australia.
Wow. Have we got the defence systems to be able to, you know, shoot it out of the sky when it's on its way here or not?
No, we don't. But then again, you know, we're not a desirable target. So, you know, if there was to be a conflict, well, it's unlikely. If North Korea gets to the point where it's got a small enough nuclear warhead, and that's what the Americans are most concerned about at the moment, is they are concerned about the missile development, but they're more concerned about miniaturization of a nuclear device that could fit onto an ICBM. So that's why they're concerned about the series of tests going on. As you know, the next test would be the sixth test. And to miniaturize a nuclear weapon, you need to have a series of tests to test your theories and see whether it works and so on, because, you know, the smaller you make it, the less, the harder it is to actually make it function.
Professor Williams, I'm watching the news services here in the studio this morning, and one of the headlines, it said Australia urged to build missile defence shield. Is that necessary?
No, it's not warranted. As I say, I mean, they're still probably at least 3 years away from having anything that would have the range to get to Australia. At the moment, they can reliably go about 2,000 kilometres, which takes in Japan and the Korean Peninsula.
Mm.
But as I say, they're a long way away from having the capability to reach Australia, and Australia is not a desirable target for them anyway, because their likelihood is that they would only, if they once they get to that point, they would probably only have one or two. So, you know, the target for them would be the United States. But as I say, it's not their intent to use it. It's their big fear in North Korea is being attacked by the Americans, and so they feel that if they've got a nuclear deterrent, then they're safe from attack. So that's what it's all about. It's not necessarily intending to use it. It's all about deterrence. You know, you might remember mutually assured destruction. That was the deterrence between the United States and Russia, that both could destroy each other, so therefore neither could use the system. So it's more about that than it is about anything else. So if we had billions of dollars to spend on missile defense, I'd rather see it spent on a very fast train system.
Yeah, exactly right. How do you see this sort of argument or blue going on, finishing up between North Korea and USA? Do you think will they reach some sort of agreement in the short term, or do you think this could be a bit of a long-term game of poker?
They need to have an ongoing dialogue, I think. The North, before Kim Jong-un became the leader, they actually did have an agreement with the United States to stop their nuclear program, in return for which the Americans were going to provide them with two nuclear reactors for power generation, because that's their big lacking in North Korea is power. And so anyway, the Americans promised that they would start to dismantle their system and to provide the two generators. And according to Richard Bronowski, who was our ambassador to South Korea and North Korea at the time, the Americans never followed through on the reactors. So eventually the North Koreans tired of them and threw them out, the American specialists that was. So, you know, maybe it could be put back in place that we, or the Americans rather, did undertake to provide those nuclear reactors. But unfortunately, I think under Trump, that's not going to happen. He's much more aggressive and bellicose and whatever. So the danger is, of course, is that he might impetuously do a first strike on North Korea. And then North Korea, which doesn't have the ability to strike back at the US, would strike back at South Korea, because it sees South Korea as a puppet of the United States. So, you know, that would be a possible scenario. You know, the desirable thing, if it was possible to do it, would be to get rid of Kim Jong-un, because then that would cause, you know, ructions within the North and a realignment politically, probably, and, you know, but he's pretty hard to get to. I spent 2 weeks there last year, and it's a very closed society. You know, there's the lights went out in Pyongyang at about 9:30 at night because they didn't have the power to keep going, and there's no internet there, there's no mobile phone coverage, and people basically, you know, believe what they're told by the leader.
When you to be fair, a lot of that happens in Adelaide too.
Hey, when you say get rid of him, do you mean get rid of him or just get him out of the job?
If he could be eliminated, you know, but obviously he'd have to do it from, you know, hands off. It'd have to be not attributable. You know, obviously we wouldn't want to have Western fingerprints on it. It'd have to be something you encourage.
A bit of poisoning
within the regime, or, you know, something that, you know, you could perhaps find a way to get to him. But but it would be hard to get to him, obviously. You know, I mean, that might be a way, because I think this whole nuclear missile, nuclear warhead thing is being driven by him. And, you know, if you took him out of the equation, then perhaps, you know, the whole thing would go nowhere. But they are a society where they do feel threatened, particularly by the United States. And, you know, they've got this fear of being attacked by the United States. And it seems quite genuine. I spent quite a few evenings having beers with the North Koreans. And, you know, once they had a few beers, and their beer's very good, by the way, they open up and they're quite sort of, you know,
scared,
prepared to discuss these sort of issues.
All right, Professor Williams, very interesting stuff. Thanks so much. Former Australian Army military intelligence officer, Professor Clive Williams. It's like a Bond movie, really. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
That's great. That was great stuff. I think I'll still go to Darwin in July, though. I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, take your shield. Take your missile shield, and we'll all be happy. 104.7 Triple M. Rui, we've spoken about this topic many, many times because it really does concern us. We mean this seriously, but things like the amount of sugar in food and what our kids should or shouldn't
where
be eating.
Where it comes from.
Yeah.
Where it's grown.
Yep. So it's been announced they're going to change labelling on Australian food. I think this is great.
Yeah, they are. And we want to know more about it. We've got a food expert coming on now. He's a dietitian from the Metabolic Jumpstart, Matt O'Neill. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, Matt.
Tell us about this labelling. Do you know much about the changes? What's it going to look like? What will we read in future?
Yeah, well, there's a big push at the moment to get added sugars listed on the nutrition information panel, you know, the table with all the numbers on food labels. And in fact, Friday, tomorrow, health ministers are meeting and they're considering it. But I tell you what, we need all the support, because without having added sugars on labels, you don't know whether it's naturally in there, it should be in the food as nature intended, or whether the food company has just poured a whole bunch of sugar in there to make it taste sweet, and, you know, satisfy your taste buds and make you buy more and get hooked on it.
Well, what's the point of having a label if we don't say what's in it?
Well, that's honestly the basic consumer right. And I tell you what, if you're watching the news, sugar is in the news every day, and, you know, there's no nutrients in sugar. It's nothing it's got to offer. And, you know, with obesity and diabetes rates going through the roof, then you'd think added sugars would be a good thing. But there's a powerful industry lobby, because they don't, if they tell you how much sugar they add, it's like saying, we pour this many buckets of sugar into your food. Mm. You know, they don't want to reveal that, do they?
No, yeah, not at all.
But they should have to. It's just like, I can't see why the Australian government wouldn't be super strict on this. It's costing everyone a fortune and misleading people. And you've got a lot of people out there that want to do the right thing, but it's impossible to understand food labelling at the moment.
Yeah, look, it is. It's so confusing. Look, the food companies know that. They put all these numbers and people just put their hands in the air and go, percentage this, you know, grams this, I don't know. And that health star rating, you know, 1 to 5 stars, that sort of has backfired as well, because there's junk food getting 3 stars. Yep. You think, oh, it's got 3 stars, I'll eat that. So we need something a little bit clearer. And, you know, with social media and consumers sort of sharing online, you know, with the Choice campaign, I'm really pushing people to get behind it. They've got an online, like, petition you can sign, and there's nearly 11,000 people that have signed it. And unless we all do this and put up a hand and say, I'll click and do it, then it won't happen. So we've got to send a clear message to health ministers that, you know, put consumers and the public first rather than big business.
So the changes they're planning to make on with labelling at the moment, what are they doing?
Well, they're looking at all sorts of ways to make it clear. I mean, from the food regulator, you know, the government that tells us what's on labels, they're making a lot of fuss about country of origin, which is really good to know where your food. We want to know where our food comes from. We want to support Australian food as well, and that's important. But, you know, we've got this diabetes issue at the moment that's going to break the health budget unless we, you know, tell people how much sugar, how much fat is in there properly. And at the moment, there's a big war on food industry versus consumers, and we've got to have our say.
Matt, when I read a label, and I do look at a lot of them, I've got no idea which one I'm supposed to pay more attention to. Now, there's carbohydrates, there's sugar, there's fat, there's unsaturated fat. They then break those down, don't they, to unsaturated and saturated fat. Kilojoules is the other one. So should I look at sugars, carbohydrates, kilojoules, or fat? I've got no idea.
I'll give you the quick 10 second, or it might take 20 seconds of that. As far as a snack goes, if you can get it under 300 kilojoules for a snack serve, great. 600 kilojoules, you're probably flashing an amber light, you know, and then if you're 900 kilojoules or more total for a snack, you know, whether it's chips, whether it's biscuits, whether it's, you know, snack bar that's sweet, chocolate bar, over 900 kilojoules, red light should be flashing for you. So that's a simple thing.
So kilojoules is the best one to look at.
Well, it's an idea of how much energy is in that food. And if they put a lot of added fat and added sugar, it'll just bump up the kilojoules. So it's sort of like this measure that you check. But the next thing is sugar. So currently, if you look at total carbohydrate and then you have sugars listed, the sugars in there will tell you how much sugar is there. But if it's a piece of fruit, that's got natural sugar like fructose, which comes with fiber and other goodies. You know, if you have a yogurt, and here, you probably heard this, a lot of people say low-fat yogurts are full of sugar. Not all of them are, so you can look at it. And if you look and go, okay, per serve, have I got less than about 10 grams of sugar? Then that's a good cutoff. So, you know, we've all got to set our own criteria. I mean, we know how fast to drive on the roads, don't we? It's roughly 100 Ks and there's signs everywhere and we're used to that. We actually need some more help in saying, hey, you know, don't have more than 10 grams of sugar in your serve of yogurt, and here's how. But, you know, government's not too helpful, and it is confusing, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, Matt, very good explanation. I look forward to this new packaging. Matt O'Neill, dietitian from Metabolic Jumpstart.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.